Hey, everybody, welcome to My Wave Podcast, where we talk about my wave, my story, my life. We're interested in the conversation that every surfer has, and that conversation is the wave that they just rode. Just had a really fun session last night, and I was talking to a friend this morning, and I had to describe the drop into a nice little barrel and came out, and it just, that's what surfers talk about. And I'm super excited to share this time with today's guest, Teresa Kramer, and we'll get to her story here in just a minute. But before we do want to give a shout out to our sponsor, Shredder Surf Camp. Shredder Surf Camp's located at Wrightsville Beach, and they do one-day lessons, private lessons, parties, as well as a four-day camp. So check them out on their website, shreddersurf.com. So here we go. We are going to meet with Teresa Kramer. And Teresa, super excited to have you here to talk about your wave.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, yeah. Now, before we get into this, there was a moment, that there was a session that I paddled out, and you were already out there. It was a really fun day. I remember it was a good size, nice wave. But I know your occupation, and so I had to ask, and I asked about an issue that I was having with my neck and my back, and this pain and this just really weird anxiety feeling that would overcome me with the pain. It was crazy, and I shared the moment that I thought it happened, working surf camp, carrying surfboards on my head, and through the summer they got heavier and heavier, and it was a windy day, and I cranked my neck, and I've shared this with other people. You went full mom mode on me. Like, you weren't angry or mean, but I felt like I was in trouble, and you were telling me exactly you were giving me the riot, man. It was great. It was awesome. But I went to your place of business. What is that?
PT by the Sea.
PT by the Sea. And what do you do there?
Physical therapy. We work with all kinds of clients who have injuries, mostly musculoskeletal, aches and pains, back pain, neck pain, and provide physical therapy services to these folks and try to get them better and offer all kinds of different wellness services on the other end of it, which is my area of interest.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've got to say, I went, I met with Kat first. I've been working with Jenny since, and I'm 98% better than that day. I was hurting.
Fantastic.
Like, when I first saw you in the water, probably shouldn't have been in the water. In my mind, I knew I shouldn't have, but the waves were great that day, and I had to sacrifice my body a little longer, right? But I PT by the Sea has done great for me. That sounds like a little slogan, doesn't it?
There was a reason you were there.
Yes.
And we ended up paddling out.
Definitely was, because I was hurting. I was hurting. Well, let's jump on in. So where was this wave? Let's start there. Where are you going to take us?
I am going to take you to Wrightsville Beach Access 10.
Okay. So your home break, basically.
Home break. I actually live at Access 5.
Okay.
And I'd say my three favorite best waves are Wrightsville Beach waves.
Yeah?
And the best part about it is you're usually surrounded by your friends.
Uh-huh.
It's usually warm water. Fall is a typical time of year where you have epic waves and you're still in your swimsuit and you don't have to wear a wetsuit.
Right. Right. Now that's unique for East Coast, East Coast. And for maybe those listening here, you have this dividing line of cold water, warm water. The colder water comes out of the Newfoundland Current and drops down along the North Carolina coast on the Outer Banks and then pushes on out. But then you've got the Gulf Stream that comes up along the North Carolina coast and meets off of the Outer Banks. And so Hatteras is like this churning cold, hot, or cold, warm water. Mm-hmm. But Wrightsville Beach, I mean, you're right. We can surf in board shorts up sometimes. I think this year I was in October.
Yeah, late October.
Yeah.
Easily.
Yeah. So maybe we shouldn't say that. Maybe more people would want to come. But so Access 10, that's right there just south club. of Holiday Inn Surf Club. Surf yeah. Club. Very yeah. cool.
So I had gotten a jury duty letter and I was like, oh man, I don't want to skip work to be, you know, take a day off just to go sit downtown. And so I blocked my schedule off and.
Because you did the right thing.
Yeah, a month in advance.
And it's your civic duty.
Yeah. So jury duty day came, or the night before, I got the notice saying, oh man, I have to actually go down there and uh-huh. show up and see if, you know, if I actually have to do anything. So it ended up being a Monday. And I always refer to this as jury duty Monday. Because I was supposed to be working all day, and fortunately I had blocked my schedule off, and I showed up doing my civic duty 8 o'clock in the morning downtown, kind of grumping about the whole situation, and I got released, but was told I had to come back at noon, so uh-huh. or 1 o'clock or something like that. So I rolled out of there around 9 o'clock and had all my stuff with me because I knew the waves were really good that day. So I rolled up to Axis 10 and I walked up the hill and over the dune and thought, oh my gosh, can I do this?
Yeah.
You know, can I do this wave? This is a really trestle style wave. What is this doing here at Reitzel Beach?
Yeah. Yeah. So, now hold on. You said at trestle. Have you been to trestles?
I have.
You have?
Mm-hmm.
No way.
Yeah.
This is a pretty sweet wave.
Yeah.
I was on a trip and I was on making my way down the coast. We were trying to get to trestles. My son got sick, so we had to stop. But a friend of mine said that trestles makes everybody surf like a pro. I mean, it's just a beautiful wave.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe you feel like a pro because the wave is so amazing.
It was. And I was looking at easily, I guess, maybe an 8 to 10 foot wave. And I'm a longboarder.
Are you back at Reitzel Beach now?
I'm back at Reitzel Beach. Actually, okay. I'm standing there on the dune thinking I have 3 hours before I got to go back to jury duty. And looking at that wave and thinking, okay, do I have the skill set to even surf this wave? I think I'd been a surfer for about 2 years by that point. And, you know, it just was the most beautiful looking wave.
Oh, wow.
And a true West Coast looking wave at Reitzel Beach.
Wow. That's that's beautiful.
Long period, probably a 13, 14 second period wave, and not just a jacked up shortboard wave, but a slopier enough longboard wave that you could get in it and mm-hmm. really go a long way.
Mm.
And so,
wow. So you throw out a couple things here. Shortboard wave, longboard wave. Mm-hmm. So I've always ridden a shortboard,
mm-hmm.
but maybe 5 years ago, I got my first longboard. And so I've been exploring both worlds. And do you surf shortboard any or ever?
I think the shortest I've surfed is like a 6'8".
Okay.
So
right there, that fun board kind of.
Yeah. And I can do it, but my arm goes numb. So
because of the extra paddling.
Well, the extra paddling and the neck extension. Okay. So it just pinches my neck. And I just think, well, I really want to keep surfing, so I got to find a way to surf and not have my arm go numb.
Right, because as a PT, that's
yeah.
I'd work on you, but I can't even move my own arm.
That's right.
Wow, wow. So longboard is now. You said how long ago was this wave?
Probably been 9 years ago.
Okay, and you said you'd only been surfing about two years
yeah.
prior to that. So yeah. So really, you started surfing when you were about 10, 11? If you've been at it about 11 years, 12 years now?
I started surfing when I was 44.
Wow, so, that's awesome. Yeah. What got you into surfing?
Well, I have three kids, and I had some injuries in my 20s, and I lost the ability to run and play a lot of impact sports.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had three kids and decided that, oh my gosh, I would love to do another sport
mm-hmm.
and get my body back in shape. And so Gibbs, who's my oldest, was starting to surf, and he needed rides all up and down the beach, and all of his friends needed rides. So I had this old red Saab that I used to love to drive around. So I'd pile him and all his friends, boards would be sticking out of the car, and I'd drive him around and have them pick a break. And I loved watching him, but I really wanted to be in the water with him.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I had tried surfing when I was in my 20s, and it was kind of a disaster because I almost broke my neck and I thought, I really don't need to do this at this phase of my career.
So right.
I ended up putting it on the shelf for a while, which is good because I probably would have never had three kids if I had picked it up.
Do you have an addictive personality?
Yeah, a little bit. Mostly to healthy things, but
right.
still can become unhealthy.
Yes, yes.
But so Gibbs needed rides, and I was the mom to drive the kids around the beach, and so I'd take them all over the place, and I just don't like sitting around a whole lot, so I took a lesson mm-hmm. From Joe Pickett.
Oh yeah,
yeah, a lot. It was I think we rented a bunch of boards from her and did the family lesson.
How fun!
My husband and I and Gibbs and Elizabeth went out and paddled out with Joe, and Gibbs knew he liked it, and Peter tried it and thought, oh, it's okay. And I tried it and I caught my first wave and I was like, I can do this.
Oh, wow.
I can do this. I can, you know, have all my injuries and I can still maybe be a surfer.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a swimmer growing up in the Midwest. And so I had this thing about being in the water all the time. And every morning we'd get up and do dawn patrol back then was swim practice at 6 a.m. So like 10 years of that, and a pretty elite level of fitness yeah. at that age. So I was very comfortable being in the water. So to find comfort in the ocean with a board under my belly was even so much more fun than swim practice at yeah. 6 a.m. So
yeah,
that's cool. Kind of how I got into it. But driving Gibbs around and then deciding that I really wanted to give it a go after my lesson with Joe, I thought I am definitely going to take lessons. And so I had a girlfriend who signed her kids up and my kids up at surf camp, and
uh-huh.
we showed up and I signed myself up and she signed herself up and we both showed up, you know, biggest people there.
I love it though.
And so I took 2 years of surf camp with the kids, and it was so much fun, and I got better, and I started surfing a lot more, and I had this just foam board, you know, Costco foam board that I just bombed around on.
Right.
And then finally got a Walden surfboard, and I thought that was the coolest thing.
Yeah, is that what you ride currently, is the same Walden?
No, I still have it. I loan it out. I love it. I loan it out, but it's super heavy, so I have, too much shoulder issues. So
yeah.
I tend to ride a Stewart.
Okay.
A Stewart Redline.
Nice.
And it is so nice because it's all the joy of the Walden, but without the heavy carry.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. So you would highly recommend if someone out there listening is interested in giving it a try, to find a camp, to find an instructor.
Absolutely.
Whether it's a day lesson or a week long or half a week, whatever.
Time in the water is probably the best way for you to get better at surfing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, the first 2 years I learned to surf, or after those first 2 years of taking surf camp, I started surfing every day.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a beginner and you want to get good at it, especially at middle age, surf every day.
Yeah.
Surf all conditions. Go out in every single condition you can go out in, whether it's a good day or not, and surf what's out there.
Yeah.
And
that's good advice.
And so I kind of went from being a beginner to a decent intermediate surfer.
Pretty quickly, though.
Pretty quickly.
Yeah. Awesome. So Access 10.
So Access 10.
Civic duty day.
Jury duty Monday. and this was actually a June day. So I don't know how we ended up getting a decent swell in June. But,
right. Unless it was a hurricane, early hurricane.
Beautiful day, hot and sunny, and got some score parking across some surf club, and grabbed my board, went up there, and just was jaw-dropping, amazing looking at that wave. And a long period. And so I decided I'm going to do this. And I looked at the lifeguard and he looked at me and just shook his head and said, wish I could go. And
oh yeah. That's gotta be brutal for lifeguards that surf.
So, but the good thing was there was no, they had taken all the checkered flags down. So there were no restrictions on where you could not surf. So that was cool.
Mm-hmm.
So I paddled on out and I ran into, one of my first buddies in surfing, Art.
Yep. Art Ricks.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
I need to get him on here.
David Wilson was out there.
Uh-huh.
And, a couple other guys. I think Sean, or the EDU surf guy, Sean Retke.
Okay.
Yeah. So he was out there too. And it was just this amazing day. So I ended up surfing like 3 hours, and one of the most memorable waves was taken off into this big tower wave that I still think about jury duty Monday, and I still think about the beauty of those waves.
Yeah.
And how it's not like that hardly ever, but
right.
But I'll take what I can get. But
that one towering wave, well, that wasn't the wave though that you want to talk about, is it?
I'd say that's one of the best ones.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, for me at that time in my skill set and mm-hmm. where I was with my skill set, I think that was one of the best things. But
so this is probably the biggest day.
Biggest day we had seen at Rice Bowl in a long time.
Yeah. But for you, had you surfed bigger?
No.
So this was stretching you. This pushing was you.
Definitely stretching me. Yes, yeah. It was an 8 to 10 foot wave, but it had a slope to it that mm-hmm. was manageable for me. I don't do well with a more of a steep jacked up wave.
Right.
Just the elevator drop.
Yeah. And what do you remember what the tide was doing then? Was the tide more favorable, like a fuller, higher tide? Sometimes if it's not, you know, the wave will crumble a little bit more, be more slopey than a lower tide, especially at Wrightsville. I mean, sometimes we're looking at, you know, waist deep water that those waves are breaking in.
It was breaking outside. So I think it was an hour past low rising and perfect condition. So
yeah,
paddled out, and the wave that I remember was just dropping into this wave and having my board go so fast that it was vibrating.
So hold on. You're sitting there with Art and Dave, and you're sitting there, and you see it coming.
I see it coming, and I paddle into it. And
now hold on. I know Art didn't see it coming because he's blind as a bat.
he might have gotten the one before me.
Yeah, yeah. So you saw it coming, and did you need coaxing? Like, did you need somebody saying, "Yeah, Teresa, that's yours," or did you say, "This is mine"?
I think there was so much space on the beach that day, and it was a Monday, so most people had to work, and
right
this time it was 9 something, so
yeah,
some people had left because of the meters, and mm-hmm. So I had it all to myself, and it was great. And I think these guys were nearby, and I'm sure they were cheering me on, but I just remember taking off into that wave and just flying down faster than I've ever gone in my entire life on a wave, and
yeah.
just having the board vibrating and humming and just feeling that board just charging. It was so fun. And
now are you, as you're dropping in, you weren't going straight. You had learned these 2 years to
go down the line,
to go down the line, to set yourself up, go down the line.
Mm-hmm.
Were you going left or right?
Taking a right, yeah.
Is that goofy for you? I mean, is that front side for you or backside for you?
That is backside for me.
Okay, so you're goofy footed.
Yeah.
All right, so you're taking off on a right on a big wave. Now, I'm not a great, you know, incredible surfer, but still, when I take off on my backside, because I'm goofy as well, I still doubt myself. Like, so I mean, to take off backside on a wave that big after 2 years of surfing, there was some commitment there, right?
Definitely.
and that, talk about commitment there for a second, because as people are learning or they're challenging themselves in bigger waves, there's this mental component. You know, you've got the physical side, you've got your paddling in, you've done plenty of pop-ups, but this aspect of committing, what's that?
It's almost like a dangerous thing. It's a daredevilish thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not a daredevil on land because I don't bounce well on concrete. But
right.
I feel like I can be a daredevil in the water.
Uh-huh.
And taking that risk, I mean, what's the worst thing you're going to do? You're going to fall off your surfboard. Well, what? Who cares?
Right.
Know? But I know before I get in the water, I say a little prayer, "Dear Lord Jesus, keep me safe," because I do. I get in there and I just, something overcomes my mindset and I just turn into like a wild woman and I want to just charge down all these waves.
That's awesome.
I'm probably more timid now at 55 than I was at 44.
Uh-huh.
But, I just feel like it's hard to get hurt. Mm-hmm. In surfing, it's harder to get hurt in surfing
right.
because of as long as you don't hit the board. But
yeah, 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 once you hit this the surface of the water and you break that tension.
Yeah.
There's a little sting at times. But then you know you're through.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you've got other things, you know, to think about, you know, am I getting pulled? Am I getting worked back over the falls?
Right.
But yeah, hold your breath.
Right.
Go with it. Enjoy the washing machine ride.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there is a joy to that washing machine ride. It's all part of the fun of surfing is just being tossed about in the surf, whether it's 50 degree water or 84 degree water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just so good.
It does. There is a
weird way.
Yeah. And I can't remember who I was talking to, but they were talking about that underwater thrashed around feeling, that washing machine feeling. And they said it's at that point they feel most alive. Like they feel most connected to the ocean. They're just part of it. Mm-hmm. And that's an interesting take on it, you know. So overcoming that fear and that commitment, I mean, that leads to some pretty nasty wipeouts at times, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Especially early on.
Yeah.
I always say the first 2 years is kind of a, there's definitely opportunities for injuries. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit of a steep learning curve early on. And then once you can get through 2 years of surfing every day, then it's a lot easier.
Yeah.
You don't make as many mistakes and you're a lot wiser about the waves that you choose.
Yeah. You had any injuries from surfing?
I did. I had gone out on a day when I didn't have anybody to hang with and I was out at Elot and freezing cold, and I had a hood on, boots, gloves, and all this stuff. And I think it was the water was in the 40s, so mm-hmm. it was pretty,
that's cold.
Pretty cold.
Mm-hmm.
And
For
Wrightsville. I had been surfing and was coming in on a wave and fell off the board. And at that point, I didn't sit down on my board. I just fell off. And the water, when it hit my face, was just so alarmingly cold.
Mm.
I popped up like way too fast.
Okay.
And it didn't cage, you know,
right.
Forgot the basics and board came down and smashed me in the head. And,
oh, no.
I was like, that really hurt. I can still surf. And that was so messed up because, what I didn't realize is that I had a full thickness scalp tear.
What?
Yeah. On the top of my head and my head hurt, but I was like, I still want to surf. I'm still surfing. So I surfed for like another 30 minutes and caught some more waves.
So you're bleeding.
And I didn't realize I was breathing.
Under your hood.
Yeah, I'm bleeding under my hood and I just don't realize it.
Oh my goodness.
So I get out of the water and I'm coming home and I run across somebody in the walkway and they're like, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. They're like, well, you got some blood on the side of your face coming. So,
oh my goodness.
So I worked my way home and, Peter was off that day. My husband's a family doc in town.
Uh-huh.
He fixes a lot of my mistakes. So
he got out the sewing kit real quick.
Up a lot of my friends. So I came home and I was just like, oh man, I just don't want to bother him on his day off.
Right.
I really need his help. So when he got home, I'm like, hon, can you take a look at this for me? And I had a big cloth on top of my head and had taken my hood off, but he ended up stitching my head up on the back of our couch and. So when you have a family doc in the house, you will get cared for in all circumstances. So
that's awesome. How many stitches did he put in?
I think he had probably 20 or 30 stitches.
What?
In there. Yeah.
Oh man.
So fortunately, it didn't get infected, and he said, "All right, you know you're gonna have to stay out of the water for 2 weeks." I'm like, okay.
Doctor's orders, right?
So I think I made it 1 week and I bought a swim cap and stuck it on and went surfing again. But it's just, I don't know.
Oh, man.
Addictive phases of my surfing career. But,
yeah. So phases of your surf career.
Yeah.
What brings that up? Like, why would you say that? Like, here you're, you know, would you say you're 15, 16 now? No.
I'm 55 now.
55 now.
So I started when I was 44, and you know, the first year was just a couple surf sessions, and then taking a lesson, and then committing to surfing every day for 2 years was the early phase of it, and just getting ramped up to the point where I could drop in and catch almost most everything I wanted to catch, mm-hmm. and be able to paddle out in almost every condition.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the first 2 years of it, and And then after that, just finding a tribe and starting to take surf trips with friends and going to interesting places. And,
where have you been?
I have been to a lot of cool places. My favorite place that I've been is Puerto Rico. Just because it's super easy to get to. And my favorite, one of my favorite breaks is in Wilderness.
Okay.
Just north of Wilderness. Another epic place where I caught my really, really good sized wave and had a blast there. And
so is this a little secret cove between Wilderness and Ruins kind of thing? Or
it's just north of Ruins, but I'm not going to tell you the name of the break because it's kind of a nasty word.
All right.
It's just south of Ruins, but north of Wildo.
Gotcha.
I think you know what it is.
I know nothing.
It's a sweet little break. So you get out there. So this was like the second session for the day, and most of my friends were staying on the beach. But my friend Courtney and I paddled out together, and it was just going off out there. And I thought, this is going to be so much fun. This is exactly what I'm looking for. So we paddled out, and these big bombs were rolling through, and long period again. So it was just, oh, this is going to be awesome. So ended up dropping into this big wave and surfing through and just staying on it for a long time. And then just being so stoked and so elated and so on fire for this wave and just wanting to stay out there for hours. And Courtney, she's an awesome surfer. She dropped in on another one right behind me and her leash broke and her board went all the way in and ended up on the reef. And so
they break it up pretty good.
We left this epic surf session, an epic break, just to retrieve the board, and we ended up drifting all the way down to Wildo. To be able to get to the keyhole and get out and find the board. And so it just, it was just like an epic one wave day. But it could, I think it was probably good that that happened because I would have just probably gotten into trouble and ended up in some hospital in Puerto Rico.
That's great.
So Puerto Rico holds a big place in my heart. I just love it there. And I've surfed in Costa Rica. And it's okay there. I like it there, but I love Nicaragua. I think that's a better place than Costa Rica for me. Surf Rancho Santana with the Indojacks crowd.
Fun.
Did some surf mission stuff down there. And one of my favorite breaks down there was Panga Drops. And a big bowl-shaped wave and just enjoy that place so much. And Mag Rock and Popoyo, excellent places as well. I've gone out into some crazy stuff, like get out there and like, oh my gosh, why is nobody else out here? I'm going to die on this wave. But I took my friend Nicole out on this one day, just south of Popoyo, and I forget the name of the break, but everybody was surfing further north in Popoyo, and it was crowded, so I thought it was cool that we were going to try something different. And we got out there pretty close to the spot, and you could see this welling up where the waves actually broke. And I'm like, oh, I wonder what that is.
A little rock.
So I was able to catch one or two and then just got worked.
Yeah.
So beat down. And I'm like, oh, maybe we should get out of here. Let's go.
We're going to die.
We're going to die. This is why nobody else is out here. Let's go back to the crowds.
That's so great.
But anyway. I've surfed some in California. Had many a fun session with Georgia and San Diego at Sunset Cliffs.
Okay.
Super fun area. And have to climb down this huge wall of rock and stairwell. And, you know, while you're carrying your heavy longboard.
Right.
And praying you don't fall on the stairwell and the rocks. And but we paddled out and had some great sessions out there.
Yeah.
And then Encinitas and San Clemente. If I lived in California, I think I'd like find a place to live in San Clemente and just park at
Santa Onofre. A lot of people do.
Park at Santa Onofre and just live there.
Wow. That's awesome.
So many fun spots there.
So of all these places and everything, you picked Access 10 because friends?
Friends. And surprise.
Yeah.
Surprise element.
Surprise wave.
For rights.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's go back to the wave. Paddled for it, committed to it, took off right. And what was unique about the wave, or maybe it was just the ambiance of being there with everybody?
The the uniqueness about the wave was its size, but it was just great. It's slopey enough to, you know, sometimes we get size, but it just doesn't hold up right, but it held up beautifully. That's what I remember most about it. It's just, it was this long, long, long ride, and we were able to rail grab and go down the line and just shoot through and just have so much fun on it and just vibrate the board. And but yeah, David Wilson was cheering and so it was super fun and just great. And I've had a couple of really good days at LLOT too. And I think those are my second favorite days. Mm-hmm. LLOT, you know, it's kind of a fickle spot and a lot of my friends don't really care much to surf there. So I always feel like I'm dragging them there. And I was like, okay, if come on LLOT, you got to hold up. And so one year, WBLA decided to host their competition at LLOT.
Oh, nice.
I thought, oh my gosh, I'm like, please hold up. And so I started, I never pray for waves because I feel like I need to just save my prayers for something really, really important. So that week I had prayed for waves, and we walked out that morning to the surf contest, and this was a fall day, and we had this magnificent day at LLOT.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just the craziest thing. And people talked about how it wasn't that good down elsewhere and further north of there, but it just was going off at LLOT.
Wow.
So it was like this most perfect surf contest. Mm-hmm. And again, getting to share that with all my surf friends and all the WBLA members and get to hang out on the beach because I was supposed to be helping out
in
the contest.
Yes.
So, and my family came out and watched me surf, and actually ended up, I think I had really only been surfing like 3 years by then. And so I was able to catch a really good ride and not embarrass myself. And the worst thing is when you embarrass yourself in front of all your friends. But
so did you compete that day?
I did. I competed that day. I can't even remember. I guess I did pretty well, but most of the time there's no old people in the contest. So but if Joe Pickett rolls up, then you're really in trouble. So
right. WBLA stands for Wrightsville Beach Longboard Association.
Yeah.
And they've been around Wrightsville Beach
for
a while, do an annual pro-am. Mm-hmm. And it's usually right there behind Sweetwater, usually. Yeah. That's pretty good. They moved it up there that time. Well, I hope after COVID clears, we can get back to some of those events and things.
Absolutely.
And get those things going. So, Teresa, if you could share maybe one bit of information to someone that's new to surfing. It was reported apparently that in 2020, surfing jumped up something like 25% across the, I don't know if it's the world, but the U.S., people just trying it. So hopefully there'll be a lot of them listening. They're in starting their second year, you know, or finishing their first full year of surfing. What would be something that you could encourage them, challenge them? What would it be?
Well, a lot of things. pray before you get in the water. Keep it safe.
Uh-huh.
And find a tribe as soon as you can to make the surf sessions more meaningful.
Yeah. So, so a group of friends.
Yeah, surfing with a group of friends.
Yeah.
And surf every day. Every day you can. Don't waste any time driving around all the different spots. Just pick somewhere, get in and go.
Yeah.
Don't waste your time trying to figure out which is the best spot. Surf all conditions.
Yeah.
And if you end up getting into surfing and really enjoying the fun of the sport, make sure you find that balance in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Don't overdo it.
Yeah.
keep your body in shape, physically with other sports, whether it's Pilates, yoga, do other things besides surfing as well, just to keep things balanced out.
So. Yeah. Now, you had mentioned prayer a couple times. Are you a person of faith?
Absolutely.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. How does surfing encourage that or strengthen that? Because I've read articles and heard different things where people, all different walks of life, say that surfing is a spiritual event. You know, being outside, seeing the sunrise, in this world of water and wildlife, and how's it spiritual?
Be still and know that I am Lord. Comes to my mind. And there's something that happens when you're sitting on a surfboard. I think you might catch a wave 5% of the time, and you're paddling out probably 50% of the time. Mm-hmm. The rest of it, you're sitting on the board and you're being still, and you're focusing on the present moment, the beauty and the nature that surrounds you. Shared beautiful sunrises, beautiful sunsets, leatherback turtles popping up, 400-pound leatherback turtle with my daughter nearby. Yeah. Lots of dolphin encounters.
Yeah.
It's just so much fun to be out in nature. And if you believe in creation and not the creator, I don't understand.
Right.
But I really feel like, for me, it's quiet time, whether it's quiet time on my yoga mat lately, more of that. Since it's been kind of a lean month, but quiet time on the surfboard, just being there and talking to the Lord and listening to His guidance, and just being so grateful for what we have here at Riceful Beach.
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe not always the best waves, but just the friends, the you know, the good vibe in the water.
It's a gift.
It is so much joy.
Absolutely.
And I shared a lot of that with Tico, big surfing buddy friend of mine that passed away last year. And he was on the same page. You know, he just was all the time talking about just being so grateful for all that we have here and his spirituality. But,
yeah, Tico's missed.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I surfed with him a few times there at South End, his little spot. And he was an encouragement, always had a smile, good thing to say. You know, we had that just stoke about him.
Always uplifting.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Teresa, this has been awesome. Thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you.
And sharing this time, sharing your wave, and just everything about it. You know, the tribe, that community, that fellowship with one another in the creation. You know, the psalmist writes in Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims His handiwork. And He gave it to us as a gift to steward, to take care of. You know, definitely need to be doing that, but just to enjoy. And I think surfing, unlike other sports, allows the surfer that time to be quiet, to leave the car, grab that board. It's like when you step into that ocean and you paddle out, everything's back there. And it's just, it is a refreshing time.
I will never have a watch that has my phone on it.
Right.
You can leave that behind.
Right. I was surfing. We'll wrap it up here unless you had something else to say. But I was surfing and it was crowded, South End, and I heard music. And I was like, that's a loud speaker. And then it disappeared, and then it came back, and I realized there was a guy wearing like a fanny pack, but he had it around his shoulder, like cross shoulder, and he had a speaker in there that was waterproof, and he was listening to music, and I don't have anything to do against music, but I'm like, wait a minute, leave that at the beach, you know, let's just enjoy laughing and, you know, together and not listen to music. Anyway,
I used to be a sailor, and one of the things I loved about sailing is just hearing the water lap against the hull of the boat. It's very, very methodical and just always put me in a good mood. And
yeah,
I replaced sailing pretty much with surfing, because you get that same feel on paddling around on a surfboard, just the sound of the water lapping against your board. And
yeah,
just such a blessing to be able to do that here.
That is. Thanks for sharing this moment with us. And I loved it. Love it. You know the Bible talks about surfing?
I did not.
Yeah, it does.
Where?
It's in the book of Acts.
Okay.
In chapter 27. Paul is in a shipwreck. You know that story, the shipwreck? Well, in Acts 27, verse 44, it says that they all the sailors, all the prisoners, everybody made it to shore safely. It says some on pieces of the ship, and others on boards.
Right on.
So there you go. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for tuning in, and look forward to the next episode. Thanks, Teresa.
Thank you
all have
you
a great
so
one.
Much.